This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
As the canonisation of Mary MacKillop approaches, it's an opportunity to reflect on her life and legacy. Blessed Mary, A Saint for All Australians, is a new documentary produced by Bearcage for the History Channel. Michael Teer from Bearcage is the film's producer. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. So how did this documentary all come about?
Initially, it was an idea from Foxtel to make something,
yeah.
But it was a very open brief. What they wanted us to do was go away and look around and see what we thought the story might be. Now, I have to confess I was quite ignorant about Mary MacKillop.
Yeah, probably most of us are, really.
Yeah, exactly. So initially our thought was, oh, okay, well, how does someone become a saint? That will probably be interesting, and we'll sort of weave Mary's story into that. But what happened was we started to research her story, and we were just quite amazed by her.
Well, tell us a little bit about her life and why you thought it would be a good story to tell.
I think there's two really important aspects. The first is that she was an absolute pioneer in terms of education. And what she did was, for many Australians, and at that time, there was no opportunity to get an education. Australia was a remote land of the population was scattered, and there were lots of little rural communities. And bringing education to that that spread of people was expensive and difficult to do. So she saw the need and addressed that. And I guess the other thing that we were quite astonished by was the most opposition she had to what she was trying to do was from within the church.
Do you know that is so common? John Flynn, who started the Royal Flying Doctor Service, very similar pioneer, you know, saw a need, and all the opposition he had to fight was within his own board, yeah.
So it's extraordinary, isn't it? And I think when someone's a pioneer and they challenge a set ideology, it's almost as if you're insulting those who might have done things differently in the past. Mm. It's that sort of response. And she, I think as well, a lot of the time what she was challenging was the power and authority of the bishops. The bishops really wanted to control what happened in their diocese, and they wanted anyone operating on offering services through the church to be under their control. But that obviously was a hindrance to her growing her organisation, because what it would mean was, you know, multiple little schools that were answerable to each church, and so it's very difficult to form a kind of a national organisation. So in that sense as well, she saw herself as an Australian, not a part of a diocese or even part of a colony of South Australia or Victoria. There wasn't Australia at the time when she first started her order.
Mm.
So she was a very progressive thinker and a compassionate person. She had a lot of time for the poor. I guess as well, the other thing that was interesting was, if you think of a saint, you imagine someone holy and probably a bit above the rest of us. But
she was down getting her hands dirty.
She was. And she was a very... through the film, what we do is we use letters to and from her as the basis of the story.
Mm.
And through them, I think you get a really good sense of who the person was. And
yes.
And she had a lot of qualities that were difficult not to admire.
Okay, so what would you describe as her sort of main passions then? What sort of drove her? What motivated her?
She strongly believed that children needed a religious education. And at that time in Australia, there was this sort of growing rise of secular education. And also, the Catholic and the Protestant churches were in some ways kind of opposed to each other.
Mm.
The sectarianism was fairly strong. So there were all those kind of dynamics. But I think at the same time, she sort of cut through a lot of that and just saw that a lot of children did not have any hope of education.
Mm.
And she wanted to do something about that. Mm. She her partner, who's another fascinating character, was a guy called Julian Tennyson Woods. And he was a young, very charismatic priest, and he met Mary, and he initially set her on the path to establishing the order. In fact, they established the order jointly. But they were very passionate. They were very idealistic. They saw that they could make a change, and they wanted as well to do things different to what was done in back in Europe.
Okay.
And so they're very progressive in that sense.
Now, you mentioned that you had letters to sort of flesh out the story, but what other sources did you have? How did you actually piece together the story of her life?
The writer Michael Cove read a lot. There are a lot of biographies about her, so we did a lot of that. We interviewed the members of the order. We interviewed one of the postulators, Maria Casey, and we read Paul Gardner's book. So that they were kind of the primary sources that we went to. I mean, obviously within the order, there's a great deal of knowledge about her work and her achievements. But primarily, I guess we rely on these kind of recreations. I mean, one of the things when you are doing a historical film like this is, you know, what are you looking at?
Well, exactly. I mean, you don't have photos or video footage to show, so you've got to come up with something visual, don't you?
Indeed, and in a way, the conundrums of approaching the story were at the beginning. Once we got onto these letters, and we thought, well, actually, we could recreate, we could dramatise these, and we could recreate aspects of her life. And the other thing that was important, they're all first-hand accounts, so there'd be witnesses and so on. So it was historically accurate. I mean, there's a temptation, of course, to possibly write in dramatic scenes. We resisted that and really went to the first-hand accounts to drive the narrative forward.
And you've called the doco a saint for all Australians. Do you think she is a kind of a good spiritual role model and someone that Aussies will actually relate to?
Well, I think the kind of attention she's drawing this week is an indication that she is.
We don't really have anyone filling that place either. I mean, it is a bit of a vacant slot, isn't it?
It is. Yes, indeed, you're right. Actually, I hadn't thought of it like that, but she is. She's sort of the spiritual role model, if you like. I mean, we've got, I mean, you know, maybe sort of the Fred Hollows type character is someone that we think of as doing good.
Yeah.
But I think Mary, she's certainly captured the public's imagination. And I also think her significance as a historical figure has been underplayed. I think to the non-Catholic audience, if you like, and to the secular audience, I think she's a character whose life is worth examining, and her contribution to the community. I mean, religious schools, for instance, are a common fact of life now, and many Australians choose those schools. The desire or the opportunity for a universal education is something that we in Australia take for granted, but she was certainly a significant pioneer in that field. So I think she's important for a lot of reasons. I think she's historically important, and also she was a woman at that time who was taking on mainly a male establishment, or almost exclusively, and that's something to be admired as well, I think.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Michael Teer, for talking to us this morning and telling us a little bit more about your film and what you've learned about Mary MacKillop in the process.
Thanks, Katrina. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's Michael Teer. He's the producer from Bearcage, and they've produced a new documentary. It's called Blessed Mary, A Saint for All Australians, and it's released on DVD tomorrow and playing on the History Channel.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.